Curious. You would make an excellent cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Join the community at Cephalon Squared on Twitter and Facebook, or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective and welcome to episode 40 of Cephalon Squared. My name is Cephalon Greg and I'm joined as always by Cephalon Lucas. How are you on this fine Easter Sunday evening?
Fantastic. It's been a pretty chill day for me. Nothing really going on. How's yourself?
That chocolate was fashioned for your sins or something. That's my understanding of today. So I eat it to forget about my sins. Thank you, chocolate. And my sins have been forgotten. Let me tell you, I think I can quit chocolate for the rest of my life right about now. I am sugar crashing pretty hard. So if sugar I fall asleep crashing. Mid-episode, it's pretty much sugar's fault. Praise sugar!
Oh boy. what are we getting into?
But anyway, how's the weather up in Ipswich?
Well, the weather today in the city of Ipswich is currently 7:25 PM, and the weather is 20 degrees Celsius with an 87% humidity. Well, it's looking like it's going to be raining quite heavily over the next couple of days, and I'm fucking loving it.
Very good. I was going to say, the weather's 7:25 PM? Interesting. That makes it 68 degrees Fahrenheit for all you crazy Fahrenheit users out there. Here in Melbourne, it is not really chilly, but it's only 19 degrees. It's been a warmish day, 67 degrees Fahrenheit, 65% humidity. So it's similar to what it is up there for you, Lucas. Just a bit shit, really, for an evening. I want it to be colder so I can just sort of be cold. I prefer cold.
Cold is nice, as we discussed on the stream last night.
We did indeed have a stream last night, and we may as well sort of segue into that and what our plans are there. So we are looking to start streaming as a Cephalon pair, and rather than stream from a single Cephalon Squared account, which we just couldn't figure out, so we didn't, we've got our own individual accounts. Mine is Mad Capsules, MadCapsules, and Lucas, yours is...
Silver_light, SILVR_LGHT.
Beautiful. So I will be streaming every Friday. Lucas will be joining me via voice chat, and Lucas will be streaming every Saturday, and I'll be joining via voice chat. So that way we both use our own individual accounts, but it's both of us playing. We will be playing with anyone that wants to join us on PS4, and that is from about 8 PM Friday and Saturday nights, Australian Eastern Standard Time, till about 11 o'clock at night. So about a 3-hour stream, playing Warframe, of course, on PS4. So anyone wants to join us, feel free if you are awake at that time.
Yes, indubitably.
Yeah, so we might stream at other times, but that will be, you know, our
That'll
own individual...
That'll be the main times that we do.
Yeah, so that'll be the Cephalon Squared times, I guess, is the best way to put it. Yep. But, yeah, please join us. We've been having a lot of fun. We only did it, twice now, and
yeah,
it's gone really well, and we've had a shitload of fun.
Three times. We did a trial on Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
And then
Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. So we both tested our channels out on Thursday. Mine was crashing hard. Greg's was going strong. I managed to fix up whatever problems we had and did a quick 40-minute test on Friday while Greg streamed. So everything was looking good there. And then Saturday, jumped over to my channel and properly streamed.
Smashed it out. It was fine, yeah.
It was
so
great.
We're streaming from our PS4s at the moment. We don't have any streaming tech, so the quality is not as high as some of our other streamers you might see out there, but it's still pretty good. I've watched both of our streams, and it is acceptable for the time being. But, you know, please do support us. Go to ko-fi.com/CephalonSquared. Any money that is donated to us is not only appreciated, but will go towards improving our tech so that we can have better streams, better YouTube, better all of that. So We want to improve all of that, but it, you know, requires products that we don't have. We'll get there. Yes. Anyway, what did you get up to in Warframe this week?
Well, this week I finished the Night Waves. I got to rank 30, thankfully. Yay, and that I actually did that Monday. Now, when I woke up Monday morning, it was 6 a.m. So I still had about 4 hours of last week's Nightwave available. So I smashed out as much of that as possible, getting myself well and truly up quite high with that. And the second 10 o'clock turned over the new week, I pretty much did the entire week within 3 hours and hit level 30.
Yeah, this week was pretty easy. This week was the first time I did every single one of the weeklies, including the elites and all of the dailies. This week was simple, so thank you to DE for that. Although I have a feeling it's all random. That's my thoughts. But, yeah, I did pretty much the same. Mostly smashed that out. And what did we actually do on our streams this week?
Yeah, so on your stream, we took a few of our viewers through some objectives just to help them out a bit. We did the Exploiter Orb.
That's right.
And we did a little bit of thumper hunting. A little bit of thumper fun hunting.
Yes. And we did 20 waves of Hydron because someone needed to get some
Oregon
stuff.
Cells and Oregon cells leveling.
And super leveling. So, yeah, that was a good night. And last night it was mainly selfish stuff.
Mostly selfish stuff.
Yeah, people were watching and not so many people were joining this time, which is fine, of course.
Yeah. So we did, we got some
Toroids.
Yep. Got some toroids. Leveled up the Prisma Grinlocks, which feel great. We did half an hour in Euphelia and managed to get condition overload within 10 minutes. so it's great, great start there.
Well, I have heard streamers talk about the luck of the streamers and shit. It took me 1,000 hours to get condition overload the first time, and that was only a couple of weeks ago. So for us to get it again the second time while we were streaming, I'm starting to believe it.
Yeah. Oh, and we also got August Secrets on Friday. Yeah, Friday night we got August Secrets.
That was the first time I got August Secrets. I didn't have it either. So, yes.
Luck of the stream.
So, it was good. So, yeah, please do join us on our streams. I know it is Australian time. It's not going to suit everyone, but if you are up at the time, please join us. We'll be happy to have you there. And if you are on PS4, we'd love for you to join our squad. We'll only have two spots at a time, but if we do have a bunch of people like we had on Friday night, we'll just keep swapping through them. So,
yeah,
everyone gets a chance.
Yep, indeed.
All right, so on to the news. Now, because we're super excited about some nice news we got last week, we have sort of done some foreshadowing on this in previous episodes. We're going to be a little bit selfish and provide a Cephalon Squared or another Cephalon Squared update first. So let's have a drum roll and a... We are now an official Warframe fan site and podcast.
Yay!
So this is where you picture Kermit the Frog, arms flailing wildly in the air, going, "Yay!" Kermit the Frog.
Hey, ho, Kermit the Frog here with the weather.
So, yes, we are pretty excited about that. We are now official. We're on the Warframe.com fan sites page. So if you go there, you will now see Cephalon Squared. And we're pretty excited about that. So we also got a shout out on the
Primetime. Last week's Primetime. Yeah. It was fantastic.
So they were announcing new partners and they announced Cephalon Squared. So that goes out to all of you good people listening right now. Thank you so much for your support because we would not be where we are now without you.
Indeed. It really, really means a lot to us that you guys have helped us grow this much.
Indeed. And a second special shout out to our moderators, Lars, or Spoon Forever, whatever you want to call him, and Hot Cheese on Discord. Those guys have been helping us out since almost the very beginning, so thank you so very much to those guys. And also, thank you to Derpa Chief, Rathok, and your master, or Doug, or Bob, or whatever the hell he wants to be called on any given day of the week.
The man guys, of many names.
Indeed. Those guys have been helping us write articles for the website as well, so we cannot miss out on thanking them. Their help has been... I don't even know the word to use. That's how thankful I am. It's beyond words how much they've been helping us out, because there's so much content we've needed to smash out, and they've all been working really hard. So thank you to those guys as well.
Massive thanks.
All right. Do you want to start the news?
All right. Start the news. Cool. So to begin with, we have DE has released a guide to the London Airport for anyone traveling to TennoCon this year. So thank you, DE. I'm sure that's going to help a lot of people out.
Indeed. And there's a link on the show notes if you want to see exactly what those notes are. We thought we wouldn't go into them because we doubt that there'll be a lot of people needing to know what that's all about, but it's basically just where can you catch the plane from, what can you do, what access do you have from the airport, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, the next one is a little bit more interesting and definitely more applicable to every single one of you out there listening, and that is that there were some notes that went up on the forums during the week in regards to changes to wolf spawns that have already been made on all platforms, and this is, of course, to make him arrive more often, apparently. So they've increased his chance of popping up in your mission to 4% on all missions, or to 6% for missions of enemy level 20 and above. So it's still pretty damn low. We played a shitload last night, as we were talking about. We just kept playing through Hydron as well, towards the end of our stream last night, just doing some wolf farming, and he never showed up.
Not even once.
Yeah, I think it's probably still a little bit low, especially considering the drops that he's got are very rare drops. And if he's not even showing up, what were the stats that you read somewhere, Lucas?
That you need for RNG to fully be in effect, you would need, I think it was 200 encounters with the wolf to obtain all items to create the wolf sledge.
Which is interesting, because I do know a few people that are only one piece off. So whether or not that's like the most possible, you know, you should definitely receive it 100% within 200, and the average would be lower, probably, I would imagine. But still, it's a big number. So I'm hoping that at the end of this particular event, that they create a new node on Saturn, as Wooshi has been speculating in our Discord, and that he is just added as a boss there, and a new assassination mission, and you can just farm him for the pieces, because otherwise, I'm never running into him. RNG hates me.
Says the one who actually got us the two rare mod drops over the weekend.
then I guess I need to stream every weekend from now, every time I play Warframe then.
Yep. Next up,
work for us. Go on.
Yeah, next up is the Plane Vitalon update is now available on all platforms. Yay! And it looks beautiful. Finally playing it on PS4 over the last week, and the changes, the just flying over with Zephyr, looking down at the landscape and all the new trees and greenery. It looks amazing.
Indeed. And PlayStation Platinum discounts have also arrived this week. So I think it's up to 40% on the PlayStation platform. Xbox usually follows pretty quickly. Sometimes Xbox comes first and then PlayStation comes a week later or so. So Xbox players expect that to come soon. And I would assume that they're also trying to get some sort of Switch negotiation all at the same time as well. So we'll see how that goes. Keep an eye on this space. But for now, PlayStation Platinum discounts, go out and get them.
Next up, changes coming to arbitrations. A revive station that can revive fallen comrades. Now, this one is actually a bit of an interesting one, maybe a little bit controversial for some players, as they, you know, quite happy with the once you die, you're dead. That's it. It's over. But essentially, this is going to be that when an ally falls, a revival station will appear somewhere on the map, and you will need to kill, I think it's 5 of the arbitration drones.
I don't think they specified exactly how many, but I'm guessing, let's just say 5 sounds good.
Yeah.
they might have, to be honest. I can't remember off the top of my head if they did specify 5, but yeah, you got to kill a few of the arbitration drones and they'll drop, I think they called it resurgence burden.
Yeah, like a little resurgence burden thing. It kind of works somewhat like the index financial stress. You'll need a number of these to go along and activate the revival station to pick up your fallen allies.
Yeah, so. And while you're picking those up, you are getting a debuff from the resurgence burden. So personally, I think it could be a good idea. Because it's really, it is frustrating when you go down when you're doing an arbitration, especially when you go down for something silly, and the chance to be able to revive them, as long as it is itself not an instant revive, not a simple revive, it is a bit of a challenge to actually earn that revive, I think that's not a bad idea. Although I do understand that there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, hardcore, hard mode players who love everything to be as difficult as possible, who are upset that, you know, it's not just an instant fail when you die.
Yes. And coming along with these changes, we will be seeing Arc Gun Rivens that will be purchasable using the Vitus Essence. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think that's coming to PC next week or soon. Next week is soon, but I don't think they specified exactly when it'll be, but in the next update, I imagine, for PC. So we'll see how that goes, but it has been sort of divisive, understandably.
Yes.
All right, the next and really the final piece of news is that the Easter stuff or the spring stuff is now available. There is an ephemera, the spring step, I think they've called it, which leaves bunny eggs behind you as you walk. There are the cute little bunny ears. The Easter Color Picker, all of that is available from the market for credits, so you don't need to use Platinum for that, and you should have enough credits to buy them. If you don't have enough credits, there are actually a few weapon skin alerts as well that will be over the course of the next week or so. I think it all goes away in the middle of the week, and they also have not just the weapon skins, but also credits, so you can do those alerts, get the weapon skins, get enough credits, and buy the other stuff. I did do a video this weekend for YouTube to talk about all of this news, so check that out on our YouTube channel, Cephalon Squared, where you can see the ephemera and bunny ears and everything in action on Nidus, of course, because he is deeply into Easter. He is all about the bunny.
Nidus. Fair enough.
Cool. Okay, so did you have anything else you wanted to add on any of the news pieces this week?
No. Everything that I can think of has been said, so I think we're done with the news this week.
Indeed, and we are awesome and very pleased with ourselves, for obvious reasons, you know. But we have an interview this week, and I know recently we have been releasing special episodes during different things, but we've been doing a bunch of interviews. We'll actually have another one next week, I believe, if there's no dev stream. So we thought, rather than releasing special episodes on their own, we can slot them in instead of our discussion topics. So we've got a discussion this week with Accessible Gamer in lieu of a discussion, and that is coming up next. It is really, really interesting. He's an interesting guy and extremely personable, lovely guy, and he's got a lot of good things to say. And that will be followed by our first little sponsorship. So check that out. G'day everyone, and welcome to yet another interview. This is Accessible Gamer. So welcome, Accessible Gamer.
Hi there, how are you guys doing?
Good, welcome to the show, mate.
We are awesome. So we were put onto you from one of our guys in both of our Discords, I believe, Rathok, who you know?
Yeah, actually. Met him in a fundraiser for the Able Gamers Foundation we did about a year ago.
Nice. Very good guy. Very supportive of us and obviously very supportive of you. He put us in contact with you. And I guess what makes you special out of other Warframe partners is that you know, not only are you a Warframe partner, but you're also, I guess, disabled is the right term.
Physically disabled. Gamer with a disability is usually a easy one to remember.
I've watched your streams, and it's amazing because you... And, you know, don't get me wrong, part of what you're doing in terms of the whole accessible gamer and able gamers idea is to, like you were saying to us prior, is to normalize everything. But when I watched your stream, I was amazed at what you were able to achieve. And I guess we'll talk about some of that and the tools that you use, etc. But tell us about how long you've been streaming for and who you are and what you do.
Well, I've been streaming for about a little over 4 years now.
Nice.
Yeah, thereabouts. I'm checking a calendar real quick. I've had the privilege to speak at TwitchCon the last 2 years, and hopefully I'll get to do the same this year. Nice. I speak on a panel of other fantastic Twitch streamers on accessibility, and being a Warframe partner, I get to experience that in a really fantastic way, because believe it or not, Warframe, despite its learning curve and everything that's required to move around in the game space, it's an incredibly accessible game for people with all types of disabilities.
That's the part that blows my mind. Like you said, it's so hard to control.
Well, there are people in our community who are legally blind and play it.
Wow.
One of our community mods, name is Glitched Vision, and yeah, he's definitely legally blind, and he's an up and coming streamer with a disability, and part of the Accessible Streamers team. This guy is legally blind, and I think he just decided to stop at Mastery Rank 16, but I know that if he were to, like, put even the slightest bit of, like, effort towards it, I know he'd be able to blast through at least another 4. He's just that good.
That's fantastic. Wow.
And yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, there are ways that he adapts to the challenge of gaming. And that's really what it's all about. What Warframe is all about is it provides options to adapt to the challenges in gaming. And that's why it's so accessible to people like him and myself. He's able to make the map appear by default, and he does all sorts of trickery with the UI options to make it so that he can navigate by map and find items and all of the things that he needs to. Sometimes he might get stuck or have trouble getting to the end of the mission. But, you know, sometimes you have to wait 60 seconds for someone to make it because they become a Warframe on a doorframe. It happens to me all the time.
Actually, I was watching your stream just before we started, and it had happened to you then. I was like, how do you get out of that tight little space?
Yeah, it's quite a few things that I end up doing. And sometimes I get really desperate and I'll just, like, try and do a ground slam, but yeah, I'll get, like, hung up, especially in Grineer tile sets. It's a nightmare because it's Grineer and the Derelict. Oh, God, the Derelict.
Yes, yeah, I can imagine the Derelict to be worst.
Yeah, so just having to, like, get through all of those, like, corners, and then for some reason, Digital Extremes were like, you know what this tile set needs? It needs, like, practically a corridor in the ceiling that you can get to but can't get out of. And someone else was just like, okay, we'll make that happen. No, it's I think it's it's just like one of the many challenges that it's just part of playing the game, but that's why we play it, for the challenge. It's as my wife was saying earlier, probably part of the human condition to want to challenge yourself. So
definitely
that's how we do it.
What is it about Warframe that makes it slightly more accessible? Is there something special that the team does?
Options. They design with options in mind. And that is what will make gaming accessible when developers decide to include accessibility in their own games, as long as they're able to do so at every stage of the development cycle, they'll come up with a game that has a lot of options, and that's never really a bad thing. I mean, the more options a game has, the more the gamer can tweak it to maximize their own enjoyment.
Yeah, I guess that's the important part. I mean, I myself don't fiddle too much with options, but I suppose if it's important to be able to make things work to your specific requirements, which is
I'm talking about like user interface options just as much as whatever character creation options people like to throw in. That's how games will be made accessible as we age. The first gaming generation are we the first gaming generation, or is there still one ahead of us? I don't know.
Well, it depends, because
I started on Nintendo 8-bit, but yeah. I guess there's some older than me, so
yeah. Well, I've turned 40 last year, so I started playing in television in the early 80s.
Ah, okay, there you go.
But we're still all a similar generation, but mm-hmm. I think I'm Gen X.
So.
Yeah, you're probably at the back end of my generation. Yeah. And Lucas just a young whippersnapper.
No. But none of us are going to stop playing video games just because we get old, right?
Oh, hell exactly.
Definitely. So we're gonna need features. We're gonna need options in the games that we play in order to make sure that we're able to adapt to them when our eyesight isn't what it used to be, or we can't move our fingers as fast as we used to. Yeah. Or, carpal tunnel, it'll send in eventually.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something that gamers have to consider, and that's why I do what I do.
That's a really interesting point, because I think a lot of people out there don't think of anything until it directly affects them.
Yeah. Yeah. This is
true. A lot of people don't believe a thing can happen until it does. And I am living proof of that, because unlike the majority of my colleagues, I came to be disabled because of an injury. So I have I have no one to blame but my own clumsiness and idiocy. So,
and how long ago was that now?
I want to say 16 years. Yeah, 16 years.
Okay.
So 2003. Long, long, long time ago.
Suppose you sort of fought through the tough early years to.
Exactly.
To get on top of things. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not easy at first, but after a while, you come to, I don't want to say grow accustomed to it, but you learn how to adapt to life's challenges. And, video games, when our lives are already in hard mode, we want our recreation and our leisure to be as much on our own terms as possible, because ultimately when it comes down to it, there's not a whole lot of options for us to do especially with physical disabilities. I can't speak for those with auditory, visual, or cognitive, because, I mean, and I will also preface that every disability is different. Even two people with the same condition, like a spinal cord injury, can have different symptoms. But for me, it was hard to find leisure activities. So I was watching a lot of movies and reading a lot of books, mostly. And then I, you know, got back into video games slowly, and eventually started playing MMOs and started getting into the social aspect. And that's when I realized that I could use that, you know, my experience as a, you know, in a positive way, and
catalyst for change.
Catalyst for change, sure. And try and change the way video games are made, so that they're made with in a way that can be challenging to the abled gamer and challenging to the gamer with the disability. And I think that's definitely something that can and should be achievable.
Yeah. Super cool. Lucas, mm-hmm. I've been asking all the questions.
Sorry, I'm rambling. I apologize.
All right. I'm quiet. Cool. I enjoy listening. So one thing I wanted to ask, first off, is if not Warframe, would there be any other games that you would like to see these kind of changes available in, you know, specific genres that you wish you could actually jump into but can't because they don't have these options?
Well, I guess that depends. I've always found that a lot of the military style shooters required a bit too much twitch reaction than I could provide. But I know other gamers with disabilities that are able to do it and excel at doing so. So and that's why it's so hard to develop games for accessibility, because so many people have like so many different conditions, but
yeah, you put into account all the different possibilities, I guess.
Right. That's why if you just frame them as options, they're more palatable to the gamer and who might be like worried that accessibility is out to make all games easy mode or some such silly argument that you hear on Reddit or what have you.
I guess it's not so much as making them easy mode, just making them playable by
everyone. Yeah.
All right, so I guess we dropped out there. Lucas, you mentioned you had a question.
Yeah, another question. Can you tell us more about the equipment that you use for your gaming?
I use a mix of expensive tech, cheap tech that I've like rigged up, and software to kind of tie everything together. The first thing that I needed to control, or I needed to like handle when I like wanted to interact with my computer at all, is mouse movement. When I first started like using a computer after my injury, I had nothing but Dragon Naturally Speaking. So I was like, I wasn't really able to play games so much, except for like browser-based games like Kingdom of Loathing or something like that. Where I could like, you know, say the name of the link and it would most of the time click it. eventually I got like a trackball mouse and I was able to play games like Civilization or XCOM or what have you, games where like turn-based or real time with pause. But now to use a mouse, I got this infrared sensor that's mounted next to my webcam. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've seen my streams. I've got a, looks like a little clip attached to my hat, right?
Yes.
Right between the eyes. Yeah. That's, that actually controls the point of the mouse cursor. So
wow.
That also controls like when I'm playing Warframe, that controls what I'm shooting at. So, by turning the sensitivity up, I'm actually able to move and aim at things all over my left monitor because I've got a dual monitor set up, and I'm able to barely move my head and move that cursor all over the place.
Damn! So that almost works like eye tracking. Because I guess as you move your eyes, as you move your head, you sort of move your eyes to where you're looking.
Yeah, it's a little bit more responsive than eye tracking, yeah. Just because it doesn't involve a camera sending that sends data. But that's only the cursor.
Yeah, of course.
I've got to be able to click the mouse too, and that's where the tube comes in. I've got a tube that's attached to the boom of my microphone.
Yep.
And I sip and puff on that. By sipping air from the tube, it pushes a pressure switch that is hooked up to my USB drive in one direction, and that gets translated into a right click, and I can push air into the tube. And it pushes the pressure switch in the other direction. And that's how I left click.
Interesting.
Wow.
So by using the option like single click, like toggle aim, I'm able to like jump around, aim glide, and then get, you know, out of aim glide with ease, and that's a fantastic option there. Just like a simple thing that you wouldn't even think of, just like toggle aiming. Some games have it, some games don't. But Warframe does, thank goodness, and that's one of the ways I'm able to actually aim glide. I wouldn't be able to do it without it.
Of course.
Then I've got a table. It's like an adjustable height table that you would see at any hospital or nursing home or something like that.
Yes.
And I just like park my wheelchair right up next to it. And fortunately, now that I have two cameras, you can see it on my stream. I've got a gamepad that I took the ball of the joystick and I just unscrewed and put a, they call it a goalpost. It's like a stirrup-shaped plastic handle that I used to use to push around my old power wheelchairs. So now moving around in any game space is as easy as moving my wheelchair, really.
Wow.
Then I've got some software that lets me rebind that. So if I push a joystick forward, I could have it put send a forward keystroke or up arrow rather, or W or even Shift W or Control W if I were playing a stealth-based game and wanted to like sneak around by default. And then I can rebind, I can reach maybe like three of the buttons on it, and I can rebind those as well. Behind that is my Xbox adaptive controller. And I got one of those. Yeah.
Nice.
I only have one Switch for it. And the thing about the Xbox adaptive controller is that it's like, it's less a joystick and more like a hub. And this is one of the reasons why I think more able-bodied gamers should get this device, because if they had like, even if they were using it in co-pilot mode, they'd be able to literally have macros at their fingertips, because there are so many different switches that can be plugged into this controller, and you can plug it into any button on that controller. So picture a hub where it's got a port for every button on an Xbox controller. And you can, instead of using that, you could have it be like a super feather light finger switch, or something that you bite on, or like the Sip and Puff like I use. You'd be able to plug that in. I've actually got a few switches on my power chair that control like that literally turn it on and switch the gear mode. I could just unplug them from my wheelchair and plug them into the Xbox adaptive controller and have them correspond to like X or right trigger or what have you.
Wow.
That's the beauty of that game. It gives people more options. That's the beauty of that controller, is that it gives people more options. Yeah.
That's
so cool. I've only got one Switch right now, but I got another half dozen from my mom for Christmas. So I'll be hopefully adding to that. And every button that I add, it's like, that's one more thing that I can do easily. So who knows? Maybe I'll be able to, maybe not play PUBG, but I hear Apex Legends is pretty, pretty easy to handle. So who knows? Maybe I'll give that a whirl.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that's super cool. I looked at the Xbox adaptive controller, and to be honest, I didn't realize that was how it worked.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I mean, because there's so, like you said, there's so many different tools for so many different people with so many different kinds of requirements. So it has to work that way, I guess.
I mean, you look at it and instinctively you think, okay, this is something that you would either like hold in front of you or put on your lap in front of you, and then push the two buttons on the top. But I mean, don't get me wrong, you could totally do that, and a lot of people do. But if you wanted to, you could just have it off to the side and just interact with the switches that are attached to it.
Interesting.
I'd love to see like a bunch of like electrical engineer hacker types just play around with that device and see what they can do. Because I use software like XPadder that allows you to rebind joysticks, and I use a program called Voice Attack for the voice commands I use for everything from reloading to macros, or to from reloading to parkouring around the game space. I have a macro for that. It just does like a rotating jump, double jump, bullet jump, slide, and then has like little gaps and pauses in there as well. And it's just a constant like rotating thing until I tell it to stop, and then it mostly stops. Sometimes I have to yell at it. That's happened several times.
Yelling always helps.
Yeah. Especially with Windows speech recognition. Whenever, you know.
Of course.
The first to don't succeed, yell louder.
Fair enough. And repeatedly. All right, so on the Warframe front, how long have you been playing Warframe for?
I've been playing Warframe I want to say about maybe 2.5 years now. I'm pushing day 400, so there were definitely gaps, but not like I've been playing Warframe as a partner since it's been a while. I want to say at least 6 months. So I'm fairly new to the group, but I got to meet a bunch of them at last year's TwitchCon.
You're going this year, I imagine?
Yep, and I'll be at TennoCon as well because I live 90 minutes away. It's it's an afternoon drive for me. It's great.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah, no, we can't make it this year because it's a little bit expensive.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we'll try.
The planet is all, but
we will try. But you probably aren't aware, but just as of really today or yesterday, Cephalon Squared has been made an official Warframe fan site / podcast.
That's pretty exciting for us.
Yeah, so we're part of the group, I guess. Yeah,
thank you. That is excellent.
Yeah. So I'm spewing we can't go this year. It would be fantastic to go and meet some of the other partners and all that jazz. But you know, you can only do what you can do, sadly.
I could definitely say DE treats the people that it works with really, really well.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, so it's only been a couple of days for us, but I got to say, everyone's been really nice. So, and apparently, Megan even just gave us a little shout out on Primetime. I've just received a message. So, that's exciting.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so exciting times are ahead. But so before we sort of wrap things up, I guess we'd just like to understand when it comes to Warframe, what is it your favorite activities? What are your favorite frames? What is it you like about Warframe that keeps you playing?
I play strictly Lunaro. No, I'm just kidding.
We did for a little while. It was fun.
I actually wanted to give it a try just so I could get the like that one highlight skin that they have. Cause I do a Friday thing on, my Twitch channel called Fashion Frame Fridays. And I've got this like wheel of prizes and I spin it for people and they can win like some random cosmetic. But it's always cosmetics. So like nothing actually useful or anything like that. So what is it about Warframe that I like to do the most are, I gotta say, endless missions. I love doing endless missions. And I kind of miss doing Eidolon hunting. I really enjoyed that, but
do it again. We did one last night.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, just out of the blue. We were running around because the planes hit the console, so we ran around and decided to take down Eidolon.
Oh, nice. I used to like get really, really heavy into it with like the set squads and trying to maximize all like get 3 Tridalons. The Trihardalons. There you go. That's a good word.
Yep.
No, but now that I'm not doing that anymore, I'm a lot more relaxed. But yeah, endless missions, any kind of like, I like doing the Kuva survival. I think that's fun. Nowadays, now that they have the new Korra augment mod on her Strangle Dome, it makes farming for the Hema a whole lot easier. Because then you can have
for the Hema.
You run the Orokin Derelict Defense with a Strangle Dome over the
Defense Point,
right. And you run that with a Despoil Necros and just run around and collect all of the Mugen samples as they drop because you're getting both, I guess. you're kind of double dipping. Unless I'm missing something, I could be completely wrong about all of this. It's been known to happen before, but it seems like something that should work synergized. I haven't had a chance to test it, but stuff like that, or what's it called, the Prodman, where you do the index for an hour.
Yes. Yeah, we've got to do that.
That's a fun one.
John Prodman, we still haven't done it, Lucas.
Yep. We haven't, no.
Really?
We should probably stream that one.
I want that poster. Maybe we'll do it tonight. Maybe.
Wait until they do like a double credit weekend or something like that. Ooh, and then get a credit booster, and then you're getting like 1 million per run.
Yeah, but they did one too recently. It won't be for like another 6 months, knowing
DM. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just have to smash it out. Lucas, any other questions?
Favorite Warframe?
I haven't had a chance to try out Equinox Prime, but until I do, I'm going to have to say Mesa Prime. Mesa Prime is, I love Finger Guns Prime because I've got a build for the Peacemakers that just obliterates everything. In fact, I was doing a sortie, and I think we were doing a survival. I had her, and there's some people running around with like rhinos, and all of a sudden, people just started dying. People on the squad just started dying, and we didn't realize until like 5 minutes later that it was because radiation damage. I was one-shotting like the rhino, and he's like, "What the hell? What's going on?" I mean, he wasn't saying that. A bit more agitated, but like, how is this happening? Oh, it was great.
That's amusing. Gotta love radiation, don't you?
Oh man, yeah. So now whenever I see radiation damage, I'm always like, oh great, here we go. I'm gonna kill the entire squad.
With a smile on your face, I imagine.
Oh yeah. So if you ever get killed by, and you see a guy named Gobble Knox in squad and there's radiation damage, my bad.
Nice. I like it. Okay, so we've had you for a while, and I know this time, so we do appreciate taking up some of your time and giving it to us, so thank you.
Oh, not a problem.
Yeah, thanks to Accessible Gamer. Now, of course, obviously, you're Accessible Gamer on Twitch and Twitter and all those kind of things. Would you like to, what's the word I'm looking for? Shit.
Plug.
Plug, thank you. Would you like to plug yourself or, you know, the charities you work with?
Well, if you want to check us out, our community is called the Accessible Streamers. We've got a Twitch team, so you look under twitch.tv/teams/accessiblestreamers. You'll see a list of who we are and what we do. And if you want to check out my own streams, I stream Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturday, Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I usually do Warframe unless I've got some single player game to mess around with, or I'm testing something for accessibility. So if you like Ninja Madness without any hands, then I'm the guy to go check out for sure.
And who doesn't?
Right?
I agree. Nice. All right. Did you have anything for us, or anything final you wanted to shout out to the listeners?
Not that I can think of, but now that you mention it, every Friday is Fashion Frame Friday, and if you have a need for any kind of cosmetic item to make your Warframe sassier, then the Wheel of Warframe has an item for you, whether it's a gene masking kit or a color palette Yeah, we'll make you look fabulous.
Yeah,
absolutely fabulous. I'm like, the word is word fabulous. That's it.
Perfect word. And that's a great idea, actually, to be honest, because especially gene masking kits and things like that, people forget about that little stuff. So having them on your wheel of prizes, the wheel of cheese, is a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. So you heard it here, people. Check out Accessible Gamer every Friday, Eastern Standard Time, US Eastern Standard Time. 4 p.m., was it?
Yep, that's correct.
And win some stuff for your fashion, because you need it. Everyone needs fashion.
Yep, fashion frames the true end game.
Indeed. Yep, I was just going to say.
Great, Lucas great will line. Always beat you to it. All right, Accessible Gamer, thank you so very much for coming on today. It's been our pleasure.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. We will definitely see you around, and we look forward to it. And hopefully we might even have you back on the show in the future to chat about something else. We shall see.
I would absolutely love that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You are an inspiration to a lot of people, so thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Take care now.
And now a quick word from our sponsor. Hello, Tenno. As we set off across the system, we all learn that not only does each Warframe play differently, but so do the players behind them. Helping some of our fellow Tenno join the fight is the Able Gamers Foundation, a non-profit charity with the mission of helping gamers with disabilities. Whether it's via custom controllers or assistive tech, Able Gamers has helped everyone from kids to adults find what they need so that everyone can game. On Friday, April 26th, join Rathok on Twitch for a 12-hour charity stream as we try to spread the word. Starting with Warframe at 7:30 p.m. US Eastern Time, midnight 30 UTC, we'll venture into games we love, look at the tech that helps our friends join, and share the stories behind the players. Come join for a night of good fun, giveaways, and great people, April 26th at 7:30 US Eastern at twitch.tv/Rathok, WRATHOC, so we can all lift together so that everyone can game. So that was our interview with Accessible Gamer. We do hope to talk with him again in the future. The Able Gamer Foundation, we spoke with Accessible Gamer, not Able Gamer. The Able Gamer Foundation, I'm going to put links to on the website, because we do want to support them. Having spoken with Accessible Gamer and, with Rathok, who is a supporter of the Able Gamer Foundation, obviously per the previously sponsored segment, we'd like to support those guys. So please join Rathok's Twitch stream, support him as best you can, and donate to the charity to help out people that are not necessarily less fortunate than us, but just in a different situation to what you may be, who may need a little bit of help to be able to do some of the things that you take for granted every day. So I think that's definitely a worthwhile cause.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right, so on to the next thing, which is our beginner topic. This week, I'm going to talk about money, how to farm credits for beginners. So, as a beginner, it is something that comes up in our Discord a lot. People complaining about not having enough credits. Me, I'm constantly on 9, 10 million credits these days, and I know I could have a shitload more if I just spent more time in the index and all that kind of stuff, but I never worry about credits anymore. But there was a long time, I reckon a good 500, 600 hours, where credits were a pain in the ass because you've got to use them to build everything, every single damn thing you want to build, and there's so much you need to build in this game. So I figured it would be a good idea to help people figure out where to get credits from in the early game, because there really isn't a hell of a lot of places, to be honest. And really, apart from missions themselves, which don't drop a lot of credits, or apart from boosters, which you probably don't have if you're not trying to spend money on platinum, or if you don't have enough parts to trade for platinum, there's really only three other places that you can get it from. So one are the Dark Sectors. Dark Sectors are a hangover from an old mode in the game from an update called Spectres of the Rail, which introduced a little bit of clan versus clan challenge, fighting over certain nodes on planets. Now, long story short, because it is a long story to go into exactly what was happening there, they got rid of that because it wasn't quite working, is the easy and diplomatic way of playing it, of saying it. But they left the idea of Dark Sectors in place. So there's essentially one node on every planet that is a Dark Sector node. Sometimes I believe there's sometimes more than one.
Yeah, there's a couple planets with multiple.
Yeah, and each of those will give you different buffs. They'll almost always give you more credits than most missions would do. Some of them will give you more XP for melee kills. Some of them will give you more XP for just specific kills or whatever the case may be. But basically, they're good nodes to go to if you want to level things up quickly or if you want a boost of credits. So some of the lower level Dark Sectors are only going to give you 10 to 15,000 credits per completion. But still, that's pretty good compared to a lot of the other missions where you're lucky to get 1,000 credits in the whole mission. So these are things like Gabby on Ceres that will give you, I think it's between 10 and 20,000 credits for just the first 5 minutes of a survival. Easy. 5 minutes, you've got a bunch of credits. So find all of those across the map and keep in mind that the first mission you do after your daily login will be double credits. So if you go to a Dark Sector and that Dark Sector says that you're going to get 15,000 credits, or you know by doing that Dark Sector you're going to get 15,000 credits, if you do it as the first one after your daily login, and it has to be specifically after your daily login, you'll get 30,000 credits. Bonus. There are a couple on the map that I know of that gives you 25,000 for 5 minutes. And if you do that after the daily login, that's 50,000. So specifically, there's two on Pluto that I used to go. One is Cetura, which is a 5 minute defense. And the other is Hierocon, I think it's called, which is an excavation. You only have to do two excavation nodes and you're done. Less than 5 minutes if you're any good at doing excavations. And even though it's on Pluto, they're both pretty simple. You could probably do them on your own if you've already unlocked Pluto, which means you've got good enough stuff to unlock Pluto.
Actually, that that Hierocon one, for the excavation, you only need to do one successful excavation.
That explains why it is so quick and easy. Now, I still prefer to do Satura on Pluto because excavations can be a pain in the ass if you don't protect the excavation target. And if it blows up and you've got to go do another bloody one, it's a pain in the ass. Whereas I know it's just 5 minutes in Satura and I'm done. And I know I can do that with any frame, even if I'm leveling every single weapon. Satura's piss easy. You should do it. But anyway, I went on a tangent. Dark Sectors, that's one place you want to go to get your credits. Look for them on the planets, do those missions. The other place, probably the other really easy place to get credits, is Warframe Pieces. Find a boss you think is easy, Fossa, smash that boss, sorry, that's the Jackal, isn't it? The Jackal, yep. On Fossa. Smash that boss over and over and over and over again and sell all those Rhino pieces. I think it's, what is it, 5,000 credits per piece?
I think it's 10,000.
10,000.
I might be wrong. Don't quote me on this.
So, yeah, it's been a while since I've had to do it. These days, I just get into my inventory and sell off shitloads of things and find myself with another million credits because I forgot to do it for the last 6 months. But anyway, Warframe Pieces is another thing that maybe a lot of you forget about. If you've already built Rhino, you don't need all those extra pieces that you got. So do that. One that I used to farm excessively just to get... Well, I needed to get mutagen and I needed to get Deadnought injectors and things like that. But that's the main reason that I'd farm him is Forrad in the invasions because he's easy to kill and he drops Nyx pieces. over and over and over and over again, and you can sell all those pieces. So Warframe pieces is another really good place. Of course, all of those Gorgon blueprints that you pick up, the Boar blueprints that you pick up, you can sell those as well. Oberon, if you're Lucas, sell all those pieces as soon as you get them. That's another quick way to get cash. Lastly, if you've got friends who are much higher level than you, get them to tax you to the index. That's probably the best and easiest way to get credits. Anything else you want to add, Lucas?
Nope. Nope.
That's my beginner's topic. Dark nice sectors, and simple. Sell Warframe pieces, get a taxi to the index. Okay. Advanced topic. Go for it.
Advanced topic. Tenno Schools Part 5. Madurai. Followers of the Path of Engagement. Attack swiftly with uncompromising savagery to vanquish one's foe in a predatory manner. A school focused on offense that excels in the art of ambush and barrage. The last of the 5 schools to cover. So as always, these are the maxed out stats of all the abilities, starting with passives. And at the top of the list, we have Phoenix Talons. Phoenix Talons increases physical damage by 25%. This does not affect unique damage types such as true damage, void damage, or tau damage. This also does not affect any status effects damage. It does, however, act multiplicative with mods such as Serration. So that's a good one for just overall boosting your overall power.
Nice.
Next, we have Phoenix Spirit, which increases elemental damage by 25% again. Again, this does not affect unique damage types, and it has a multiplicative effect to mods such as Hellfire. So this one does actually affect your status effect damage types. So nice and handy overall damage boosting. Fantastic. Cannot go wrong. Next, for Void Blast, we have Flame Blast, where a ball of fire is created, dealing 500 heat damage, and then exploding for further damage dealings after a short 0.6 second delay. This is affected by stealth and may headshot enemies. And then we have a Rising Blast, which will further increase Void Blast damage by a massive 200% through charging. When a fully charged Flame Blast is set off, it will deal a nice chunk of 3,000 heat damage. Already we can see a very clear pattern here. Damage, damage, damage.
Like it.
It's fantastic. Void Dash brings forth Blazing Dash, which will leave a trail of fire that deals 1,000 damage per second and lasts for 14 seconds.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it's great. Now, with this Void Dash changeover, the enemies will be stunned instead of being displaced. So they don't go ragdolling all over the place. They stay in their spot, catch on fire, and with a little bit of a stun. And also Meteoric Dash, which does 400 extra void damage to enemies. And this void damage from the Meteoric Dash can damage the Eidolon's shields. So, more damage. Just stack up the damage. It's all good. Mm. Bit of field control with some fire. You know, a bit of void damage to mix things up a bit. It's fantastic. It's Next up, we have the Void Mode, which starts with Void Radiance, where on leaving the void, enemies within 10 meters will be blinded for 5 seconds. This blind does not open enemies to finishers, so it just pretty much dazes them, unfortunately. And Void Strike grants a 12% additional damage to the next 8 attacks for every second in Void Mode. This, of course, is after you leave said void mode. So for every second you're in there, 12% stacks up over and over and over again for your next 8 attacks. Note on weapons with any form of multi-shot, only a single pellet will receive this bonus damage. And finally, we look at the Waybounds, which these Waybounds are the complete opposite of Xenoric. And these ones affect Amp and Void Beam energy. They are in a gaze which increases energy by 40% for Amps and Void Blasts, and Eternal Gaze, which increases energy regen by 60% for Amps and Void Blasts. And with that, we bring the five schools to a close.
Good job, sir.
Yep.
Very good job.
So it's a lot of information, and it's all out there now. There's probably a few more things on the focus I need to still do, but there you have it, all the abilities.
Yeah, no, that was awesome, and I'm pretty sure I'm glad that I chose Matarai on Switch.
Nice. Damage, damage, damage.
Yeah, nothing wrong with damage. I like damage. Do the damage. Cool. All right, so now we've got to think up a new, or you've got to think up a new topic for Advanced. It's funny, you know, when we started this podcast 40 episodes ago, we were going to, I just did the beginner one because that's what we did, and you did the Advanced one because that's what you did, and now it's sort of fallen into our roles.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fair, because you've probably played a good 500 to 1,000 more hours than I have, so it makes sense. But still, just a little anecdote for you good people out there. All right, on to the community call-outs. Of course, we're going to do our weekly reviews update. We have hit 50, so we do know that we do have a promise to keep with you all in regards to the live episode. We're looking into exactly how to do that. We have had one or two people reach out to us to give us some tips or to suggest some help that they might be able to do. So we're just looking into maybe the best way to do that, but we'll get there. Otherwise, iTunes, we now have 26 reviews in the US. Thank you. 9 reviews in Australia. Yay! 6 reviews still in Canada, 3 in the UK, 3 in New Zealand, 1 in Slovakia, bringing us to a total of 48 reviews. So thank you very much. And I know F12 out there, you did say you were going to leave a review on the Japan iTunes. I don't know if you ever got a chance to do that, but I have been checking, and I can't see if it's there, so I'm not sure if you saved it. So let me know. Cheers, F12. Thumbs up. Castbox. We now have 7 reviews there. So thank you to all the good people out there who are Android users who have been putting their reviews onto Castbox. And the interesting thing about Castbox reviews is people can reply to them. So there's a it's a little bit of chit-chat going in the Castbox reviews, which makes me laugh. So thanks to everyone out there that is leaving reviews and comments on Castbox. All right, great. We do have an actual review here. And it's a new review from Australia. And it made us both chuckle greatly.
This is fantastic.
This is from Tom89437, if that is your real name. And he has titled it, Need More Cephalons? Now, I'm going to do my best advertisement voice here, even better than the other one I did for the sponsor segment before. Is your life lacking cephalons? Have you tried 2 or even 3 times the cephalons and it's just not enough? You need Cephalon Squared. These two Aussies will give you more cephalon than you can handle. In-depth coverage of the latest news, updates, rumors, and plenty of coverage of the old stuff for both beginner and veteran player alike. I like the old stuff better than the new stuff, of course. Jump on board now so you can say, I liked them before the movie came out, when they were still small. Clappity clap clap. Thank you, Tom. That was brilliant. It made me laugh. And I know you are Australian, so I wonder if that's a regurgitator nod that you've got there. I like the old stuff better than the new stuff. It has to be. Wink. So very, very good. And if you have never heard of Regurgitator, they're an Aussie band. Look for that song. I like your old stuff better than the new stuff. It's pretty catchy. I like it. Anyway.
Wow.
Thank you, Tom. That was brilliant. Really, really very much appreciated. So we'll have another review, obviously, next week, but that just made us chuckle out loud.
Well done. Thank you so much.
All right. So we didn't have any cookies this week, but we did have one person reach out to us who is Mattson, who just joined the Discord. And Mattson actually gave a special shout out to one of the guys on Switch. And this is Klenner. And he wanted to say, basically, he wanted to give Klenner a shout out for being so damn welcoming and so helpful in the Switch clan. So Klenner, and I know this myself, I am a Switch player as well, and I know Klenner is always in the Switch chat, encouraging people to play, jumping in and helping people out whenever he gets a chance. So Mattson wanted to give him a shout out, and you know what? So did we. Thank you very much, Klenner. You are an absolute... what's the word? The clan needs you. You are a benefit to the clan, and you know, we love having you aboard.
Benefit to the community.
To the whole community. Bloody yeah. Earth. He's a great bloke. And he jumped in our chat the other day while we were doing some streaming and had a chat with us. So that was
nice too. Yeah, it was great. Thanks, Klenner. Top bloke.
Indeed. All right. Now, on Cephalon Question Time, we thought we'd do things a little bit different. We've actually got a couple of Anchor questions. I forgot all about Anchor because we hardly use it these days. But I know that it is in the intro and outro for the podcast, which we are about to change. So maybe we'll see less Anchor stuff. If you want to send us Anchor recordings, please do. I still get notifications about them. I just forget about them. So one of these is from a long time ago, and I'll bring that up in a second. But the first one is an Anchor question that came from Knight Rider in our Discord. So he sent us a message just the other day, and I will play that now.
Hey, Cephalons, it's Knight Rider 8503. I just wanted to send you guys a message on the Anchor app. Currently in Arizona, United States, it is 98 degrees or 36 degrees Celsius. It's getting hotter each day. Summer's coming. Anyway, I wanted to thank you guys for all that you do. Thank you for the contests that you guys have been doing. And I also had a question as to your guys' thoughts on all the Battle Royale games. Like their success and some not so success. And what do you think of Warframe possibly adding a Battle Royale game? Do you think it's possible? Or do you think they're mainly going to just stick with co-op? Thank you.
Interesting question, Knight Rider. Do you have thoughts, Lucas, on Battle Royale mode in Warframe?
I'm going to be... Simple answer, no. I do not think a Battle Royale mode would work in Warframe. I mean, as it is, the Conclave is unbalanced as all hell, and I don't think it would work, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's true, and I know there's a few different types of Battle Royale modes that are out there now. I mean, there's the old original Battle Royale mode, PUBG and Fortnite, which basically was just pick up a gun and shoot each other. And now there's the Apex Legends and the, I forgot what it's called. Royale with G's. I forgot what it is. The ones made by the Paladins guys, where they've got different abilities. And that's cool. But I still don't think it'll work with Warframe.
No.
We do know that there are some PvP stuff coming, that there's some new stuff coming. I just don't know if a big group thing would work. I definitely don't think a big group battle would work. A massive group onslaught against just waves and waves of enemies, that would be interesting. A huge map, huge open map. Like you were saying, Lucas, all those episodes ago, protecting the
gates of Cetus,
the gates of Cetus from just a horde of Grineer. That would be super cool if there was like 40 of us or 50 of us, out there, like, with just thousands of
war, proper war on the plains of Eidolon. That would be amazing. So I'd be down for that. If you were going to say a battle royale like that, you know, like a large party of Warframes and Tenno battling against a literal armada of enemies, then yeah, I'm completely down for that. Yeah, I would love to see something like that in the game. But a PvP based battle royale, where it's everyone against everyone. Because I mean, for one, you've got to put into account everyone can take in whatever guns they want, unless it would feel really weird having to start with no weapons and pick something up. And I can't really imagine. I mean, we do have one mission like that currently in Warframe. When you get captured by the Zanuka harvester. But even that is, yeah, it's pretty questionable.
I just don't think it'd mesh with the rest of the game.
No.
As well. That's the other thing. So, interesting question, Knight Rider, but yeah, I don't think it'd work. We'll see. You never know. D likes to surprise us.
They do.
All right, we have, like I said, another anchor recording, and this is the one I forgot. So, sorry, Kaiju Guy. You did send this in the middle of March, and it's now the end of April. So I apologize for that. So let's just play that and hear what Kaiju Guy has to say.
What's going on, guys? I found out about this podcast through searching Warframe on Spotify. I'm interested in starting the game up on my Switch. I had an Xbox for a period of time and thought about downloading the game since it was free, but I never dove into it at that point. But I've been craving a looter shooter, you know, type grindy game. Since Nintendo Switch is now my primary console, and I know that the game's been on there since last November, but I never really dove into it. I've been a little bit scared that it will, the game will disappoint me. I'm definitely a very grindy type person. Monster Hunter is my favorite series. That's a very grindy game. So I like the whole jump in, do some stuff, bring back loot, that kind of thing, so you can fight higher level things. So if you could get back to me through your show, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you, Kaiju Guy. So it wasn't really a question, I guess. You're sort of leaving us a message to say thank you. Interestingly, since then, I did reach out to Kaiju Guy and encourage him to join our Discord, which he has done. Thank you very much. And you are a Switch player, and I believe you still are yet to play Warframe, and you've really just joined our community so that when you do start, you're already amongst the community and you're ready to go. And I find that a really refreshing approach. I don't think I've ever heard of someone doing that. So that's really interesting. And you do like grindy games like Monster Hunter. So you know what? Monster Hunter is pretty similar to Warframe in the fact that you've just got to keep fighting the same boss over and over again in order to get the parts that you need to build the things you want.
Yeah.
So I think you'll probably fit right into... to Warframe. It's a very different game to Monster Hunter. It's much faster.
And definitely a lot faster paced. More parkour based than anything.
Lucas has played a lot of Monster Hunter, so he can sort of comment more on that.
there's
much more you can say.
No, not really. I mean, there's definitely aspects similar between the two. I mean, we got the Eidolons that were, you know, supposed to be a bit of like a kind of like a Monster Hunter esque thing that was introduced to Warframe. A hunt of some sort. So you know, there's definitely similar aspects. Warframe's a much faster paced game. There's a lot of variety to weapons, which is always important in these kind of games. And, you know, I guess when you look at the melee weapons with each type of melee weapon having different stances to kind of swap out your attack combos and whatnot, then yeah, that kind of also tips into similar territory with Monster Hunter. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
Indeed, and I think the main difference really is because Warframe is a free-to-play game, it is so much grindier than Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter is a massively grindy game, but yeah, you're really just grinding for armor and weapons. so that you can take on a bigger, harder boss. Mm. Whereas in Warframe, you're grinding for absolutely everything.
Yeah.
So,
but hopefully it keeps you entertained for hours.
Exactly. Many hundreds and thousands. All right. So thank you for listening to episode 40. It was a little bit of a different one this week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We squeezed in an interview. We got through the news. We've done a few anchor questions and things like that. And, you know, most importantly, we are also now official. So we're not just pretend Cephalons. We're official pretend Cephalons. yeah. If you want to get in contact with us, you know where to do that. Now you can go to warframe.com/fansites and click on Cephalon Squared. So that is cephalonsquared.com, of course. And that is where you'll find all of our stuff. You can join our Discord. You can join whatever the hell you want. Go to our YouTube, which now has stuff on it. But yeah, if you want to get in contact with us, go to our website. There are plenty of ways of getting in contact with us. Give us a rating on your podcast platform, whether it's iTunes or CastBox or somewhere else. Let us know about it. Spread the word. Help us grow. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules on Twitter and all about the world. Feel free to add me wherever you find me. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri. I am Silverlight all over the world, except for Twitch. I'm Silverlight Silver_Light. SILVR insert underscore LGHC. So also follow us on our respective channels, because you know we are streaming now, and thank you so much for your ongoing support.
Exactly. If you follow us on Twitch, then you will see whenever we're streaming. So you can catch us. Cool. All right. Thanks to Jan at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro. And I have sent him the scripts to the new ones, so they will be changing in the next week or two. And thanks to you, dear listener, for listening to us ramble for now 40 episodes.
Wow. Look forward to Lorecast this week.
Indeed. We're talking about the Chains of Harrow, and I still haven't even started the notes. Shit. All right. Bye. See you in a few days for an awesome Chains of Harrow, I promise. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week.